You know, I just told our three guests that this is the reason why I come to work, even on an off day, to have a chance to talk about what they do of Casa of Westmoreland. We've got Evan Markovitz here tonight, Executive Director, Melissa Burns, Program Director, and Hannah Oldman, Advocate Supervisor. I'm going to have Evan begin to tell you about the history and who they are. And once the story unfolds, if you're a parent, a grandparent, you are definitely going to want to applaud them, as I have ever since I met them within the last hour. Incredible, incredible story. Evan, welcome to KDK, and please tell them what you're all about. Good evening.
Rob, good evening. Thanks so much for having us on tonight. Really happy to be here. So CASA of Westmoreland, CASA actually stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocates. So what we do is we recruit, train, and supervise volunteers in the community from all walks of life who advocate in court on behalf of abused and neglected children in Westmoreland County. So how this all started was this was initiated by a group of community members led by family court judge in Westmoreland County, Christopher Feliciani, who recognized the need for a CASA program to advocate for the most vulnerable members of Westmoreland County's community. And Judge Feliciani believed that CASA would be the best solution for the then 330 children living in foster care due to severe abuse and or neglect. And with the support from our judges, our Westmoreland County commissioners, and many other community members, we were incorporated in 2006 and opened its doors to start advocating for children in 2007.
And as you told me, you've been around for less than 20 years, but isn't it amazing that a judge actually was the reason why this whole thing got started? Because of, obviously, I'm sure, seeing in things that develop in courtrooms every day, but the passion, the heart, the dedication, and it was really the dream that became a reality because of that man.
Absolutely. And I mean, we've been able to support hundreds and hundreds of children since who suffer from abuse and or neglect in Westmoreland County. And, you know, because of Judge Feliciani's dream and efforts, like many of our other community members, we were able to make this dream a reality.
Listen, I have a good friend, and I can mention his name. He's been on the air with me many times. He's retired now. He's a visiting judge from time to time, but he was in family law for many years. Michael Marmo. And, you know, we have spent many late nights enjoying a coffee or two, just talking about life and families. And just being around him, I think, has made me appreciate my children and grandchildren even more. Maybe I've always been said I've gone the extra mile, but just being around these stories and someone who witnesses it every day, and obviously what you two are going to be talking about, you three rather are going to be talking about, it must inspire you too to be better, whatever you can do better, by just being around this stuff every day, Evan.
Absolutely. I mean, it makes a huge difference. I mean, to wake up every day knowing that the work we get to do is going to make an impact in, you know, at least even just one child's life. I mean, that's what life's all about,
it's
right?
It's making
a huge difference.
One child at a time. Okay, Melissa Burns is the program director, so you get a chance to talk about your love and passion of CASA of Westmoreland. Then we're going to get into the nuances, the details, and how you can help out, and exactly these volunteers who are the shining stars behind their brand. Go ahead.
Sure. So obviously, over the years I've been at CASA, I've seen some heart-wrenching events and heard some horrible stories about the kids that come into care. But with our volunteers that take their time, their energy, and their effort once a month to go out to visit these children, they make wonderful recommendations and put smiles on faces that you just wouldn't believe, from simple recommendations of services to help with their education, to their health needs, to even their child's wishes being voiced in court, like simply a trip to Disney or becoming a mermaid maybe in their future. It's simple things like that. And the court reports that these advocates and volunteers make go out to the judges. The judges do read them. And it's really nice to hear a judge go in court, "Wow, you want to go to Disneyland some day?" And the kid nods their head. "Oh, you wanted to be a mermaid? That's really cool." So it's really cute to see those, you know, recommendations come to light and to see the positive things being voiced about a child in the courtroom by our volunteers.
If you're watching a stream this at KDKA Radio, KDK Radio Watch, they are all young people that I'm talking to tonight. And one of the young people that I was talking to in a little video that we did, and you're going to meet her now, is Hannah Oldman. She's an advocate supervisor. And I asked them in the video, and I'm going to do the same on radio, what would make somebody or all three of you, as young as you are, want to do this? And the thing that amazes me, and it gives me hope for the future, that there are some young people who really have figured it out. It's about paying it forward. So congratulations to all three of you on that. But I know what the word advocate means. So you're like right there with dealing with this stuff every day. So, Hannah, talk about your situation, your passion for what you do, and obviously why you wanted to do this as such a young person when there's a multitude of things to do that obviously have some happier days as opposed to some of these sad days that in the end they can get happy, but you've got to go through some tough days to get to that point. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Thank you, Rob. Yeah, I started at CASA as an intern, actually. I was researching some internships in the area, and I came across CASA, and the rest is history. I fell in love with the program, the work that CASA does, all the lives that are impacted by CASA, and I fell in love with the mission and helping people and helping children, and I was offered a position upon my graduation, and I've been here ever since for 2 years now. The work we do here at CASA is unique. It's a very unique volunteer opportunity. It's a very in-depth volunteer opportunity, but seeing the outcomes of volunteers that they have on children is just, it's indescribable. Seeing how excited those children are to see their advocate either in court or at a visit, just seeing the face light up of a child is truly amazing. And seeing that volunteer take this seriously and really write their court reports in excruciating detail. It's truly amazing seeing these court reports. These advocates are just absolutely amazing. But seeing the impact that these volunteers have is just awe-inspiring. And I would advise anybody that they're looking for a volunteer opportunity to please come volunteer with us. It's truly amazing.
All right, CASAWestmoreland.org to find out more. We have just begun. We've got so much more to get to. But if you've ever thought about volunteering and making a difference in someone's life, this is the place. All right, back with more in just a couple of moments. Stay with us. All right, CASAOfWestmoreland.org, Evan Markowitz, Executive Director, Melissa Burns, Program Director, and Hannah Olham, she's the Advocate Supervisor. So volunteers are key to what you do. But my question to you, Melissa, what do volunteers actually do?
So our volunteers, they come in, it's a process. They come in, they do an interview with us to get to know us. We get to know them. Once they're done with the interview, we start off with the training. Our three amazing advocate supervisors, which include Hannah, we do a in-depth training that gives them all the information they need to know on how to advocate for their kiddos. What they do is once a month, they go out and visit a child. Or children, if they take a case with multiple children, they go visit with them. It's not to ask them questions, and it's not to pry into what their life is right now, but they're at a foster home, a placement, a group home with this child, and they sit, they play games, talk about, you know, their common interests maybe, and then, you know, they create this kind of bond with the child, and sooner or later, you know, things progress, and the child opens up, and you know, the great communication happens. And that's when every 6 months, our advocates write court reports for the judges for the hearings. And in that court report, like Hannah said earlier, is really in-depth information about what's going on in that child's life, from health visits to therapist and education matters. Everything's written in that court report by our volunteers. And also in that are their recommendations. The recommendations are super important because we're the only, you know, person, meaning the advocates, that write a court report to the judges that are not paid. The only ones sitting in that courtroom that is not paid are our volunteers. And that information that they write in that court report is so important because it speaks upon the child's best interests.
And, you know, something that Melissa said during the break, I should say Hannah said during the break, kids love their parents no matter what. I mean, so this has got to be difficult because on one hand, you're really saving the child from a lot of grief or possible bodily harm that could take their life. But they're also crying and they want their mommy and they want their daddy. It puts you between a rock and a hard place.
Absolutely. In this work, you get to see a lot of crazy things and a lot of disheartening things. But the one thing that we have noticed in this work is that kids do absolutely love their parents. They will always want to be with their parents, no matter what has happened to them in their life. So in our court process, the main goal is actually always going to be reunification with parents. These parents that come in, you know, through the Westmoreland County Children's Bureau, they are given a slew of services to complete in order to gain custody of their child. Now, through our advocacy, we can see that firsthand. We can see if those parents are making those moves and changes and services to try and regain custody of those children. In some cases, that's absolutely amazing. These parents work their butts off.
That was going to be my next question. Yes. So they actually can, Melissa, get reunited.
They can, absolutely. They do their services. They comply with all their services that are offered by the courts, by the Westmoreland County Children's Bureau, and they can indeed regain custody of their children.
That's actually what we hope for.
Yeah, it's the first thing we hope for. We wish, you know, not only do the children love their parents, but parents love their kids no matter what.
Yeah, sometimes life just goes in a different direction.
Yeah.
Evan, talk about the whole idea of long term. How long has it been in some of these cases where is it a matter of months, years? What does the whole process usually look like and how long does it take?
It's a little bit of both, honestly. On an average, I mean, you think maybe a best case scenario, it could be 6 months, and even that can be a rarity. You know, sometimes these cases can last 2 years, if not even longer. You know, every case just varies on a case-by-case basis. So, you know, that's why, you know, we encourage a lot of our volunteers, too, to, you know, even if a case is going on for, you know, quite a long while, you know, we encourage them to stick it out throughout the length of it, because it's so important for the child to have that, they have that bond with the volunteer, to continue to keep that bond throughout the life of the case. You just never know how long it may go. So that's just how crucial it is to keep those relationships.
You know, I don't know if I've ever told this story on the radio, but one thing you'll learn about me, I speak from the heart, and I think things that matter, they matter. So many, many years ago, I had a dear friend who asked me about someone, a young person that I knew, and had some thoughts of possibly that young child being physically abused. So all on it, talked to that young child over and over, did daily checkups to make sure that everything was okay. Grown up now, everything worked out all good, right? But I think to myself, because I really thought, should I get involved? Should I say anything? And I had this lengthy conversation in a parking lot on my phone that went on for an hour. And it literally, I'm driving an hour home after thinking, boy, once I do this, I've gone across the other side. You know what I mean? But it was one of the best things I ever did. And thank God it worked out. But boy, if I would have had all of you then, and now I'm sure people are hearing this for the first time and saying, maybe this is the route that I take. So every single day you three and all the volunteers go to work, you're making a huge difference, Melissa.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
Because that's a perplexing place to be in, Hannah and Evan, that you have to make the call. But you just, at all times, the blinders have to be on and you have to be thinking, this is a child that really has no say in the matter. And if I don't have some sort of say in the matter, they might not have a life.
Absolutely. That's the main goal of the CASA program, actually, is to be child-centric. So a lot of the times in these court hearings, through the duration of dependency court cases, the child often gets lost. That is our mission here at CASA, is to make sure that the child's wishes are being listened to and their best interest is being met. A lot of the times, the hearings, I would say 90% of the time, in that hearing, it is about the parents. It is about the parents and what they need to complete, and the child is often looked over. So that's the reason for us and our court report and our volunteers is to speak up and say, actually, you know, Timmy is doing great in math, and we haven't talked about that, or he really needs some help in math, just to kind of give a voice, our mission, give a voice to the child in the court system.
So either one of you, Evan or Melissa, can answer this, or even Hannah, but I'll start with you, Melissa. How's your organization? How do you support your volunteers?
Obviously, we have our amazing advocate supervisors and myself. We each have advocates that we supervise. At any time, I hate to say it, but anytime, 24/7, they can give us a call. We're there for them no matter what questions they have, concerns, you know, if they need to vent, we're there for them. And that's very crucial in this, you know, volunteer work that they're doing, that they have someone that they can talk to, because obviously everything is confidential.
All right. By the way, the following is being paid for by CASA of Westmoreland County. Information on the program is intended to solely further the public's general knowledge about the product. Opinions expressed should not be relied upon for any purpose by any member of the audience. News Radio, KDK, does not guarantee the accuracy of any of the information aired on the following program. They're the pros is basically what I'm trying to say. So if you need to get a hold of them, you can do so. CASAofWestmoreland.org. So what about supporting those incredible volunteers? Go ahead, Evan.
Well, I mean, I think Melissa hit a head on there. I mean, it's, you know, what one of the best things about an organization is, you know, when a volunteer is about to take their first case, we don't just leave, you know, send them on their way and say, okay, good luck, you know, let us know how it goes, keep us updated. You know, we're with each volunteer every single step of the way throughout this process. You know, we're making sure that they're taken care of, not only mentally throughout this whole process, but we're making sure that they have everything they need to be the most successful volunteer that they possibly can. You know, whether that be different trainings, whether that just be sitting down with them and having a conversation about, hey, what's this situation looking like and how can we help? We're there every single step of the way. So those volunteers are going to have us, you know, for as long as they're on each case.
And I know a lot of people are saying strictest confidentiality, certain things that need to stay within the brick and mortar of where you guys are in the courthouse in Westmoreland County. That's exactly what happens, right?
Yes, exactly. Everything is confidential, even from the applying online to be a volunteer to coming into the interview. That application process is completely confidential. And then once they get that case, everything is confidential. We ask in the interview if the volunteer is okay not talking about the case with their family, because they can't really do that. The only people that they can talk to is everybody at the CASA office.
All right, we're going to come back. We got much more for another 30 minutes. Really exciting to have them here tonight. Evan Markowitz, Executive Director, Melissa Burns, Program Director, and Hannah Oldham, Advocate Supervisor, CASA of Westmoreland, Westmoreland County. They're in the courthouse out there. We're going to also tell you, if you think that there is a need for what they do, how you can go about that. And we're going to have Hannah talk about that when we get back for our second half hour. Right after the news at the bottom of the hour with Paul Alexander on KDKA. The following is paid for by CASA of Westmoreland County. Information on the program is intended to solely further the public's general knowledge about the product. Opinions expressed should not be relied upon for any purpose by any member of the audience. News Radio KDK does not guarantee the accuracy of any of the information aired on the program. All right, CASA of Westmoreland, they are here with me. They do incredible stuff. Those volunteers are just off the charts, helping children every day. And before we get back to our conversation, I mentioned that we were going to bring this up with Hannah Oldham, who's the advocate supervisor, because she brought this up in a video that we did on social media. Because I said, do people get a hold of you if they notice something going on at the end of the block that needs to be reported? And you explained to the social media audience what they can do. So I figured, because I know there's somebody right now who thinks I can call CASA and, you know, basically help this child down the street. But you said this is probably the best way to do it. Go ahead.
Yeah. So actually, we are not the people to call if you see or suspect child abuse. What you're going to want to do is contact Childline. And I have the number right here for it. 1-800-932-0313. Or you can make a report online as well. That is going to be your best bet on getting a report in. If you see something, say something that is so important to please, please, please make a report if you see something or suspect child abuse.
All right, so here's the other question for Melissa and Evan. What are some of the signs that people should maybe just pick up on that if there's something just off kilter a little bit, that maybe there might be something going on there, Melissa?
Sure. So if you see a child perhaps more secluded to themselves, not engaging with friends, you know, sticking to themselves, more so than ever when you're engaging with them, or like if you're out at like a party or an event and that child is, you know, off on their own. If they're overly friendly, even, that's like if they want to come and sit on your lap, very overly friendly, engaging in that kind of manner. That's another big trigger point there as well. If a kid flinches when you come up to hug them, if a child is, you know, tearing up, you know, when they're around certain people, or, you know, saying that they don't want to go somewhere or don't want to be around a specific person, you know, those are some of the key things. And our volunteers, they actually do mandated reporter training to learn the signs of child abuse and neglect. And each volunteer has to complete that training in order to participate in our, you know, in our caseloads. We have to make sure they have that. So if they do go out into home and something's going on, that they can report it for themselves, but any community member can take the mandated reporter training as well.
I guess I should defer to you, Hannah, because this is kind of what you do every day, and Evan can jump in here too, but just go ahead, chime in on that. Like what people should be looking for. How about children that are just, they don't talk. They're very quiet, so much so that people think they're shy, but they're basically pulling away, and they just want to stay away from society and stay in their own little world. Can kids actually be too quiet sometimes?
I would say so, but we encourage our volunteers to approach that in a healthy way. You know, these children that we deal with have dealt with the unimaginable, and this is a stranger, another stranger coming into their home and seeing them and wanting to speak with them. They may not be comfortable with that. So I encourage my volunteers to just sit with them. Let them know that you are there for them, and that conversation will slowly come along. If they are, you know, extremely reserved, that's no problem. We tell our volunteers that they do not need to be best friends with these kids in order to advocate for them. They don't need to be, you know, having these, you know, worthwhile conversations, you know, great conversations or playing or anything like that to be a volunteer or an advocate for these children. But just by learning the facts of the case, learning, you know, the body language, learning, you know, what this child has went through, can help that volunteer best advocate for them in court, not even necessarily speaking to the child.
Good stuff. Okay, Evan, jump in here.
Yeah, I mean, I think they said it perfectly. You know, those warning signs can be so small and so simple, but they're there. And I think one of the great things, and Hannah, you kind of touched up on this a little bit, is that we train our volunteers so well to look out for those warning signs. And that's why if you're looking to make a difference and to be able to help with those kinds of things in any way possible, please reach out and see how you can support.
So you've been at this a long time. What it must be like to see the grown adult version, you know, after you've helped them and now they've kind of become adults, and to actually witness what you were able to do for them when they were either in a sexually abusive relationship with their parents or physically abusive relationship with their parents or somebody else within the house. It just must be so rewarding to see that, Melissa.
Yes, it is. It truly is. You know, it has brought me into tears a couple of times, I'm not going to lie. But our CASA kiddos are very special and really deep in my heart, like, I remember each and every single one of them that I, you know, helped a volunteer serve. From, you know, the little things that they did with their volunteers, the little anecdotal stories I've heard along the way, from seeing them, their smiles on their faces when they reunify with a parent. And then along the way, you know, we do have some children that have grown into adults that have reached back out to us and, you know, thanked us, thanked their volunteers. They reach out to their volunteers years after years and say Merry Christmas. They give them a Christmas card or, you know, reach out to them, you know, during special occasions in their lives, milestones. It's still their person, their, you know, continuous person that's always been there for them since they were little. They're still there for them. And that's what we really want our advocates to do. Be that continuous factor in their lives for each and every moment.
Listen, you have two children, two boys. We were talking off the air. And I've got three and three grandkids. And I can tell you, in this business, I do a little bit of everything. But basically, those hardcore news stories that I have to talk about, I can't tell you how many times I would go home at night or during the day. And when my children would be sleeping, or I would tuck them in or be at the dinner table with them, I'd be thinking how lucky I am to be in a wholesome, loving relationship. And I just think people need to know family is everything. And if your family is safe, but if you know another family that may be going through some difficulties, it's so nice to know that you guys are out there making a difference every day. All right, we'll take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about how you may want to become an advocate, all other ways to support what they do. And again, they're in the courthouse, correct?
That is correct.
Westmoreland County, and it's CASAofWestmoreland.org to find out more. Coming back with Melissa and Hannah and Evan in just a moment. It's your Pratt Pack on KDKA. All right, don't forget, the City of Pittsburgh's Independence Day celebration. Enjoy free family activities, nonstop music, fantastic food, and much more at Point State Park July 4th, beginning at 4 p.m., At 9:35, tune into 100.1 FM for the Fireworks Bonanza mix from TJ the DJ, presented by People's Natural Gas and brought to you by Red Ribbon Soda, Pittsburgh's Pop, Save-A-Lot, Phil DeLisente and Associates in South Hills, Lincoln. Details at kdkradio.com. All right, Castle of Westmoreland, one more segment. And tonight on the program, we have been joined by Evan Markowitz, Executive Director, Melissa Burns, Program Director, and an Advocate Supervisor. Hannah Oldham is here. So as we get ready to wrap up, let's focus on moving forward and hopefully have advocates and volunteers for years to come. Somebody's listening. They're at that stage in their life. They want to help out. Who wants to take this question? You. The program director, Melissa, how do they get involved?
If you're wanting to volunteer, you have to be 21 years of age or older from any walks of life. We have anybody from stay-at-home moms to former educators to current educators, actually, professors, healthcare workers. Anyone can really, you know, become a volunteer with CASA.
And believe me, it's not a job. It's an adventure, right?
Absolutely.
So what have you learned? It's your time being involved. The young man that you are, Evan, basically out there every day fighting the good fight as the executive director. What has this job taught you a few lessons in life?
Yeah, well, it's just taught me how precious life is and just to be grateful for everything we have. You know, I think every day when we walk out of this job, we go home, we feel so humbled for what we have and the people that we have in our lives who love each other, who love us and care for one another. That's a special thing, and it's motivation for us to give the children we serve that chance to have that as well.
You know, I've been running into a lot of young people who are working for nonprofits lately, this week especially, a lot of my shows. So it's just nice to see young people who've got everything going on between the ears that they need to have going on between the ears about your time on this earth is so precious that if you can make a difference. And look, it may not be, you know, a Fortune 500 company, but it's really paying you big dividends, is it not?
Oh, yeah. So it makes it all worthwhile. I mean, I personally can't imagine doing anything else in this life. And, you know, I want to do this for the rest of my life. I know we all do. So
what are other ways that people can support you at CASA?
Yeah, I mean, it's not just becoming a volunteer as well. Obviously, that's one of the most important ways. But we're always looking for different sources of funding, donations, sponsorships. We have a couple of different events coming up for the rest of the year.
Talk about them.
We have our 15th annual golf and tennis tournament. Pretty unique, right? You don't hear golf and tennis doing the same, but we're unique like that, Rob.
That's kind of cool.
But that will be on Friday, August 23rd. The golf will be held at the La Trobe Country Club, then tennis will actually be down the street at the La Trobe High School tennis courts. And then our last event for the year will be our 14th annual gala. That'll be on Saturday, November 9th at the Live Casino out in Greensburg. It's a Vegas theme, too. So we have a lot of exciting stuff. So anyone who is looking to support and come check out some of those events, please feel free to do so. We'd love to have you there. And we also have a giving program, too, called our Powerful Voices Society. So it costs an estimated $1,500 to recruit, train, supervise, and retain just one advocate every single year, which is pretty incredible. And we have around a little over 70 advocates in our program. So it's a lot to fund. So that giving program, you could give between $375 to support the advocacy of a child for 3 months, or you could go all the way up to $1,500 for the advocacy of a child for 12 months. So it's a really meaningful program, and all the funding and financial support we're able to receive from this program, it just allows us to support one more child.
Listen, I'm so thankful that I had this opportunity tonight, and I'm going to give all of you a few moments, just a few seconds, 30 seconds or so, to kind of summarize and just talk a little bit about CASA. So we shall begin with you. Go ahead, Hannah.
All right. Anybody who's listening, I would encourage you to become a CASA volunteer or just to spread the word about being a CASA volunteer. Being an advocate supervisor, I work very, very closely with our volunteers and have a very, very close relationship with them as well. The work we do is so worthwhile and so humbling. Anybody can be a volunteer. You need no background experience in any kind of child welfare, law, anything. You come right into our office and we train you right then and there. myself and the other advocate supervisors and Melissa, we are your go-to person throughout your time advocating, and we are your support person. So again, I would encourage anybody to please come and volunteer with us at CASA of Westmoreland.
All right, we got about a minute left, so 30 seconds to each of you. Go ahead, Melissa.
So I just want to say CASA is a meaningful experience. Anybody that steps in our office sees that our team is a whole team as one. We are there to support one another and our volunteers. We work with amazing people in our community, including the Westmoreland Children's Bureau. They're great. They are amazing with our volunteers. They're amazing in the courtroom. We are thankful for the judges as well. They're a great partnership to have. And everybody in the community that helps the children, we are so thankful that they do.
Thank you. Well done. Go ahead, Evan. You can wrap it up.
So, Rob, to close out, last year we served 140 abused and neglected children in Westmoreland County. This year we still got 6 months left to go in the year, and we've already served over 130. So we're already about to hit well over last year's numbers.
And
yeah,
been more great.
But we have a wait list of over 46 children who are waiting for a volunteer to be on their case. So for anyone who's listening, even if you have the slightest bit of interest, becoming a volunteer or learning more about how our program and the impact it has, please give us a call and reach out. We'd love to talk with you.
All right. Westmoreland, of course, is where they are located. CASAofWestmoreland.org. To all three of you, thank you very much. You made this a very enjoyable and interesting and very important hour. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rob.
Thank you, Rob.
The proceeding was paid for by CASA of Westmoreland County. Information on the program was intended to solely further the public's general knowledge about the product. Opinions expressed should not be relied upon for any purpose by any member of the audience. News Radio KDK does not guarantee the accuracy of any of the information heard on the preceding program.